All right, so welcome everybody to today's OxDSSA call on the 19th of December. Attendees today are Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Mike O'Connor, Jörg Schweiger, Mark Kosters, and from staff, Bart Boswinkel, Julie Hedlund, and Christina Nordstrom. And I have no apologies.
Thanks, Christina. Well, so maybe Jim will join us a little. Maybe I saw a note that said he might be coming in late. I can't remember. Anyway, we've got a pretty full agenda today, so I'm going to run through it really quick to see if there are any additions and then dive right in. I added one for, I sent a note around about Scott Alger, who Patrick and I had a conversation with right after the call last Thursday. And Scott's organization, there's actually a fair amount of overlap between Scott's organization and ICANN. And one of the kind of appealing things about bringing Scott in is that they did a fairly high-level risk assessment of the DNS, not quite from our perspective, but they've been through the process before, and so I'm quite taken with adding Scott to our DSSA group as an expert, partly because of his familiarity with the DNS and so on, but also because of his experience with actually doing risk assessments. And I told him that unless he heard from me, that he could join us on the next call, which is coming up this Thursday, but that I needed to check with you all just to make sure that there was no objection. So I wanted to just stop for a minute and see if anybody has an issue with asking Scott to join the DSSA.
None.
Cool.
From Mark Hosters.
Okay. We'll consider that a done deal, and I'll probably send Scott a note, but expect him to join us on the call, and I'll introduce him on Thursday as well. Bart, I thought, brought up a really interesting idea on the ops list about our reporting to Costa Rica and beyond, and I kind of want to just start that conversation today. I should have started up a new, just start up a new mind map real quick and share it with you. Ready before, sorry. Okay, come back. See how I make that a little bit bigger. Sorry to mumble. I'm going to stop mumbling in a minute. I think that there are two big things that we want to talk about. One is sort of progress to date, and the other is something about the methodology. And I was just curious if people had anything else that they thought we should start thinking about in terms of the Costa Rica meeting. And Bart, since you sort of kicked this off, do you have any ideas that you want to throw in at this stage of the game?
Not really. The only thing is, I think we should start, it's captured in these two concepts. It's more capturing, say, what the working group has been doing up to now, especially, say, up to now, meaning up to Costa Rica meeting. Otherwise, I think we start losing what has happened, because mind maps are one. But just capturing it and then documenting the process is something else.
I'm going to put that in.
Bart, this is Jörg for the transcript. Just a short question towards this. Are you interested in capturing the process, or are you interested in capturing results, or both?
I think both.
Jörg, let me explain. Say, people who went through the process have a fair understanding of where it's heading, and say just the value, and that's what I've noted from the Dakar meeting. Say, if you look at, for instance, and that's my reference group, at some of the CCs and smaller CCs, there is a wealth of material, but it's very, very difficult to understand what's in these mind maps, etc. And if it's just for one, it's very good to engage them and say in what the working group has been up to up to date. So it's both.
But wouldn't it be easier to engage them by presentations at ICANN meetings and not by providing them with written materials yet again?
I think depending. So I had today. I had another call, and although the person spoke English, he preferred to have, say, in advance of what was done. He preferred to have written documentation, and it doesn't need to be very detailed, but high level, so they can dive into it. So that's one of the things we say, or we as staff probably hear a lot from ICANN meetings, especially from, say, the non-Latin languages speaking environment. They prefer to have written documentation instead of say, a PowerPoint is one, and debriefing and telling a story is second thing, but having some documentation is that's the way they work.
I think another thing is that it gives us a chance to build some pieces of the final report without waiting all the way till the end. Because we do have a lot of material to summarize now.
Yeah.
And it would be great to be able to start summarizing that rather than have that whole task sort of stack up at the end when none of us are as familiar with it as we are now. So that I think that's another... just put that in. Any other thoughts about this? I don't want to spend a lot of time on this today because I want to make sure to leave time for... I want to walk through a different approach to the call on Thursday with you, but at the same time I want to capture whatever's on people's minds right now and maybe kick off a process of starting to think about what we want to have in these two parts of our material for Costa Rica. So anything else on this for now? Okay, let me just, I'll save that off, and maybe start sketching out an outline and finding some pieces of the mind map that would be good material to summarize and so on. The other thing that came to my mind was, and that resulted from Bart's email to the ops group about this, was the notion that maybe we ought to notify the ACs and SOs that we've selected this methodology. And I got one or two, sounds like a good idea from me, to me, notes on the list. I just wanted to confirm that everybody agreed that this was a good idea, and if it is, I'll forge a small email and attach the summary. So I again, I just want kind of a formal nod on this before I go ahead. Any difficulty with the idea of going ahead with that? Hey, applause from York. That's a great thing. Cool. Okay. Let me show you where I'm at with the risk assessment process. I thought the call went okay yesterday, or Thursday, but not great. And I reflected on that a bit. I'm not sure you're going to be able to see this. Let me make this a little bit bigger. I think one of the things that caught me by surprise on the call last Thursday was how inflexible that spreadsheet was. As people were, Bart chimed in and said, this is pretty hard to do when we're just looking at threat sources without threat events at the same time. There was no way on the call to quickly modify the spreadsheet to accommodate what I thought was a really good idea. And so, with your permission, let me just make this one notch bigger. What I'd like to do on the call this Thursday is go back to the mind map approach. So this part on the top, whoops, that's not what I was expecting, is the template that I want to use, where what we'll do is we'll take threat sources and threat events together. So there is the pair. This is basically like an attack tree. And then in those pairs, we'll evaluate the range of impact. And the other one that comes out of the threat event is one that's called relevance to the organization. So I've stapled that in. And I think that when we are looking at it in this form, it will be easier for us to say, this particular threat event and threat source has a big impact. And so to show you what I mean, let me take just one example. We were talking on the call about configuration errors by privileged users. And where we got stuck was that it depends on what the threat event is as to whether the impact is big or not. And so I'm thinking that if we can do these in essentially the attack tree pairs, that then we can kind of capture that nuance of sometimes a threat source is a big deal and sometimes it's not, and it depends on what the threat event is. So I kind of want to stop at this point. I've got one more sort of layer deeper that I want to go into this conversation, but I sort of want to stop here and see if this makes sense to you all, and whether you had the same reaction to the Thursday call that I did and whether this is a good solution to that problem that at least I've perceived as a way to go forward. So I'm going to stop and just let you talk now.
So this is Mark Kosters. I like this much better because I think I was the root cause of confusion. Sorry about that. And this makes it much clearer on the major sort of configuration sort of sources versus the lesser ones, and the impact is big time different between the two. So I think this is great.
Cool. Well, and Mark, don't beat yourself up too bad. I think the source of the problem was not us. I think the source of the problem is the methodology. I think the methodology is incorrect in assuming that people can make those choices the way they structured the choice. And I think all we did, I think we did it really well, was we realized that we were having a lot of trouble and acknowledged it. And so I don't think anybody should feel bad about what happened on that call. I thought the call was actually quite productive. and showing us that this wasn't going to work. And so if this is at least a reasonable first try solution, then I think that what we'll do this. One of the nice things is that if we run into another problem like that, it's a lot easier. It would have been really easy for me on the call in the mind map environment to just start stapling these things in the way I did now. But the spreadsheets were just, I could go nowhere except sort of twist slowly in the wind, dying on that phone call. So it's easy to compress this back into the spreadsheet form. And this maybe is a good example of where we want to get when we start doing the final report. I think the mind maps are really hard to read in a report format, but it's really easy to squash them back into a spreadsheet that we can then just put into either a PowerPoint deck or a Word document. So I think it'll be easy to come backwards into the document that we need. Any other thoughts on this part of it? Okay, I'm going to take that as a go ahead, Mikey. we're behind you all the way. We'll see how we do on Thursday. I think it'll be all right. Now, the other thing that I think we ran into trouble on is the picking of the impacts. And I think I created that problem a little bit because on the call, I gave us a 1 through 10 scale to put into the poll. And I think that scale was too granular. And so what I'm going to propose is that I go back to the scale that's in the methodology, in which they only give us 5 choices. And the other thing I'm going to propose is that we don't try to come to absolute consensus on this first time through, because I think that I think one of the things that we run the risk of is losing people's enthusiasm for the work if we belabor every single point. And so what I'm proposing to do is I'll put a little poll up that's got 5 choices instead of 10. We'll let people express their views. We'll take one iteration of conversation to see if we need, you know, and from that conversation learn and clarify. And then I'll indicate sort of the number of people that support the various tiers, and then we'll just move on. Because I think that what we will get is good enough for the next phase of the methodology. We'll find some that we're pretty agreed are either minimal or limited, and we'll find some that are really, really bad, and we'll find some that are in the middle. And that's really what's going on in the methodology, is it's trying to pick the major problems to focus on. And rather than try and get to absolute unanimity, we'll just sort of push through it. I've got a couple folks in the queue. Bart, go ahead.
My first question is, and again, maybe say, normally what you see, and I don't know if it's in the methodology which the working group chosen, is normally what you see is a likelihood of source event stuff, combination. Based on that, and then you see, say, the range of impact is what is the damage done? And again, that may be a likelihood as well. What you do, the way I read it is you start combining, say, the event source already with the impact. And what I can foresee that we will run into the same issue as on last week's call. So maybe first talk about the likelihood of something like this happening. Because then you can talk, okay, if something like this happens, what is the damage?
Right. And what I did is I just opened up the other half of the... I mean, essentially what happens is when we combine the threat sources with the threat event, we also have to combine the range of the impact, and this relevance is sort of a silly title, but this is really the likelihood scale, which is, you know.
Yeah, you could also argue, and this is probably comes back from, and that makes it very difficult with the DNS in a way. Relevance for the organization depends very much on the organization itself. Because this could be VeriSign on one hand, say if you just look at your example,
yeah,
or an end user.
Part of what, well, let's not use end user. Let's because then we get into a scope issue.
Yeah.
But if we said, if we just compared the major zone file and the lesser zone file, then I think that what we might see is that with a major zone file, the range of impact could be huge, but the likelihood is pretty low. Whereas with a smaller zone file, those could be reversed.
Yeah,
that the likelihood's pretty high, or at least higher.
Mikey, but the question is, on whom is the impact?
I think that what we're, you know, embedded in this scale is the who as well as the what. You know, this is going to be all of the cyber resources of the DNS. I mean, I think we have to stay within our scope and say that we're talking only about the DNS.
Yes, but there are people or organizations using it.
Yeah, but that's outside our scope.
But I think, say, you run the risk of entering into that discussion again. But that's, say, my primary remarks.
Yeah, I get that. Let me cogitate about that for a while, because that is a difficulty for sure. Olivier, go ahead.
Thanks very much, Mikey. It's Olivier. I was not going to comment on what Bart has just said, but the last few minutes were quite interesting. The scope, yeah, with regards to the DNS, who does that impact? Does that impact users, organizations, etc.? We might have to discuss this at a future time. My comment was specifically about establishing consensus on the range of impact and how it was done during our last meeting. I think that if we have an average number that we take for each one of these threats, but at the same time we also have a spread of this, and
yeah,
perhaps I think that looking at when the spread is particularly extreme, when there's like let's say a 9 and a 3, it was interesting to hear what people had to say about the 9 and the 3. But when the spread is 5, 6, 7, finding out why someone said 5 instead of 7, I think it really starts becoming like splitting hair lengthwise. And 5, 6, and 7 I consider to be pretty much in the same sort of average region. I'm not sure we need to actually all end up on 5 or on 6. But there can be a small spread, and that certainly is, I would see that as a consensus without needing to focus on one specific number. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's right. And my thought was that I would document this by, you know, at the end of the conversation, just to pick the one that we're on, I would just say that, you know, there were three people that felt that that was the one and two people that felt that that was the one, and document it that way. And so then if the documentation showed that there was one person that, you know, that way we could come back to this later and say, that's an interesting outlier. We need to have a conversation about that to get that resolved so that we don't lose the information, but we don't resolve the debate right then.
Can I just add one thing, please? It's Olivier again.
Sure, go ahead.
Thanks, Mikey. I don't know whether you've ever done target shooting, but there's this thing as grouping, and one notes the groupings of shots on the target. And we might end up with sometimes when we might have more than one grouping of shots. In other words, you might have a group of people choosing a higher threat level and a group choosing a lower threat level. How would we resolve that?
I think we would document it, and we would say we are, just to finish the paragraph that you started, Olivier, I think what we would do is say we have two groups. We have one group that feels this is a high threat level because, and then an explanation, and another group that feels that it's a low threat level because, and an explanation. And at that point, especially for a first time through assessment like this one, if we could come to agreement, I think that would be great. But I wouldn't want to throw out either of those conclusions if we didn't, because I think that that's valuable information for our successors who are going to hopefully do either this or something like this in the future. I think that a grouping situation is an important thing to capture and note. And that's part of the reason why I want to sort of push us through it a little bit faster rather than trying to get absolutely to consensus each step of the way. Because we have, if we do it this way, we have literally hundreds of decisions to make because, you know, we have essentially an attack tree that's now going to have, I think we've got something on the order of, we have all these threat sources, and then we have all these threat events, and then we have all these decisions to make. We're going to wind up with quite a few choices to make. And I think that the value to ICANN is the structure and the first try at the choices rather than absolute perfect consensus, because I think this is a foundation on which people can then build subsequent work. I see Olivier agreeing. Bart, let me think about the puzzler that you pose. That's a good one, and I don't want to just sweep it away. It may be that that's another flaw in the methodology, and let me think about it. I might add another branch to this.
It was just run into the rest risk that we run into a stalemate again.
Yeah, I agree. And so, you know, one option would be to have essentially range of impact 2. And, you know, then, you know, who is impacted? And a series of... And if we were to do that, so let's just quick sketch that scale. And at one end is end users. Then there's some sort of intermediate. And then there's there's probably more nuance to that scale. But maybe this is the right time to document that. And maybe we could cogitate for a minute about who else should be in that scale. Is that three-layer scale enough? Do we need more layers than that? Is that a way to address this issue? If it's a reasonable way to do it, I'm pretty sure that I could find a scale in some of the other mind maps, because we dealt with this during the conversations, even the very first conversations that we had, and I bet I could come up with a couple more. Olivier, go ahead.
Thank you, Mikey. What is intermediate? Is that ISPs? Is that?
Yeah, I was thinking ISPs, corporations. But you know, we could just. I don't like intermediate very much, so we could put ISPs in there.
Okay.
And again, I think I remember seeing a scale like that, but I don't want to waste your time on this call rummaging to find it. So let me take an action to do that between now and Thursday, and I'll put a tentative one up, and then we can.
Mikey, this is.
Yes,
Mike.
Sir.
I'll
go ahead.
Definitely add governments.
Good idea. Any other ideas? Let's just, you know, spend a couple minutes and throw a few more in, and then I'll go look for. Let me if people think of ones, feel free to ping me on the list, but I'll work on that. And again, I think that this is taking some liberty with the methodology, but I think this is the right time to do it because it's still in the attack tree pairs of threat source and threat event. And so I'm pretty comfortable with this approach. Okay, we've got some more stuff to do on the agenda. If people are comfortable with this as a next try on Thursday, we'll give this a run and see how it goes. We'll probably learn some more, but I'm a lot more comfortable with this approach than what went on last Thursday. That did not feel very good to me. I guess Patrick's not on the call. So we'll skip the board committee one. But we've got, I think, a new draft from Julie of the confidential information stuff. Have people had a chance to review it? Of course I haven't loaded it into the workspace. Julie, do you happen to have a PDF of it handy that you could just push up to the workspace and share?
I should have thought of that, Mikey. And
yeah, I should have too. I'm sorry. It's my fault. I'm the guy running the dang meeting.
I can quickly try to do that.
Yeah. And I'll sing a little song and do a little tap dance while you do that. That would be fantastic because I should have done it before the call. Sorry, but... Mark, you and Julie have come up with, I think, the new language and stapled that in, right? Do you want to, Mark, give us kind of an introduction to the gist of the language, and maybe by that time we can actually take a look at it in the workspace.
Okay. Sure. Basically, there's an addition in here that allows for. Confirmation for confidential information to be tasked to and from a third-party organization. Now, I was thinking of OARC here,
yeah.
In terms of them having confidential information and sharing with us a little bit, the non-confidential parts. And so I just didn't want that to be precluded from the report itself, or from the way of handling the confidential information.
Yeah, I think that's a really important addition. Oh, way to go, Julie. She's right on. Ah, there it is.
There you are.
Way to go. Thank you. I love this team. This team is so hot. One of the points that's coming to mind is that this document, I think, may get spread around a little bit. And so... I've run into this situation in a couple of other working groups in the GNSO where the group starts scratching its head about how to handle confidential information, and I push this draft at them, and they all go, oh, that's really good. I think we'll use that. And so I think that having this right is really important. So I thank Mark and Julie for getting this nailed down. I made it a little bigger. I don't know if I did that for everybody or just me.
No. Yeah, that made it bigger.
Oh, okay. Does anybody have any difficulty with this? The sentence says, the DSSA may deem it suitable to ask for an existing group that is organized outside of ICANN to provide information back to the DSSA working group. This group would be able to vouch for the veracity and allowable details of the threat, but follow its own rules for handling of confidential information. So this is Mark's pipeline in and out of OARC. Yeah, veracity. You get Mark. That's up to you. You gotta. I don't know what veracity means.
Are you telling the truth or not? Do you have a better word?
What does veracity mean?
Veracity means it being truthful, right?
Let's expand it to that.
Okay, sure.
You know, to the accuracy and or truthfulness.
Sure.
Something like that, because that's that veracity word. That was, I was trying to be cool and not admit that I didn't know. That
let me do Wikipedia.
The advantage of being a non-native speaker.
Yeah. Right. Well, I figured the non-native speakers might actually have learned the English language, and so they might have all known what it meant. But
conformity to the facts. Accuracy, the veracity of the story, habitual truthfulness.
Yeah, why don't we say accuracy and truthfulness of
sure.
information? That's a good catch. Thanks, Bart.
I'll make that update. Thanks.
Anything else
really
that
like
we want
to... I really sorry. Like these big words to twist up the non-native English speakers.
Oh, man. I don't know which is better, the non-native English-speaking fooling words or the battery in my phone died excuse. I think both of those are lying. An elephant stepped on my homework. Oh, I don't know. Anything else that people want to do to tweak this one? This seems good to me, except for that refinement. Because I think, what would be nice is that tweak this and then push it out to the members.
Yeah, this is Julie, Mikey. I'll make the changes. I just have a question. One thing that was highlighted that I don't think was necessarily resolved is on the next page in 3.1, and that was we had language in there about how we were selecting sub-working group members, and there's a comment. It's not showing up in the PDF, but it is... that was raised when we discussed this, is how should the sub-working groups be selected and what will be the system, if any, for vouching for sub-working group members? I'm not sure we, I don't recall that we resolved that issue.
Yeah, that's right. And I think I was leaning over backwards. I think the issue that I was raising was that I didn't feel like I had been vouched for enough to be in that role of selecting. And I've gotten over that. So I'm okay with this paragraph now. I think that comment may have been coming from me, although I can't really remember.
Did, I think, yes.
Yeah.
Well, Bart raised it, and then I think you expressed some concerns as well.
Yeah. Go ahead, Olivier.
Thanks very much, Mikey. It's Olivier. There is one thing, though. When selecting sub-working group members, and if one has to either vouch for them or there is a discussion about actual people, what we usually have to do at large, the experience that we have is that we have to go in camera because you are actually talking about people. And sometimes when sharing information about people, you have nice things or not so nice things to share with others. So I haven't noticed this to be written anywhere, and I'm not sure how this group wishes to proceed.
I'm going to let Jorg talk, and then I'll chime in. Jorg, is this on the in-camera? Well, hold on. Let's deal with the in-camera thing first.
All right.
And then get to Jorg's point. I'm pretty comfortable with the idea that we should put some words in here about going in camera, because I agree. I don't think that personal discussion about individuals is appropriate to publish to the whole Internet. That seems unfair to the people being discussed. So maybe we could stick something in there about that. Anybody else want to lobby any other way, or shall we just go ahead and give Julie an action to go ahead and stick something in there about that? Yeah.
So, Mikey, this is Julie. I'm just not quite sure that I understand what to add. I heard in Cameron, but...
Yeah, I think you could do... I'm going to do a hack, and then maybe that'll give you a place to stand, but don't take this hack as truth. You could say something like, subworking groups shall be selected by the chairs of the DSS, AWG, parens, those discussions may be held in camera, close parens, to include volunteers interested in participating. You see what I mean? It's just acknowledging that the chair should have the at least the option to go off the record, especially when they're doing sort of the vouching conversation, just so as not to embarrass people with negative comments.
The vouching would be good. The not vouching would
yeah, the not, you know,
be a better.
If everybody was vouching, no problem. That's right.
Okay, I've got it then. And it's in camera. It's a Latin usage, correct? I just checked that online. So.
Yeah, and you know, you may, to avoid the issue that Bart just raised, I'm not sure that in camera is universally understood.
No, I don't, you know, I mean, I know Latin, so I knew what you meant, but I think many people, how about, why not say in private?
Yeah, or off the record.
Off the record.
I think either of those would work, too.
Sometimes those discussions may be held off the record.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good, I got that.
I would
cool.
say in private.
In
or
private?
In private, yeah.
Okay, got it.
That works, too.
Okay, great. I'm going to
agreed on this. On the sense, and we'll leave the words up to you, Julie.
Yeah, that's right. I got it. And I'm going to accept these changes, and then I should send it to the full...
Well, hang on just a second. I sort of halted Jorg in his tracks, so let's hear what Jorg's got to say first.
Okay, thanks, Mikey. Actually, it's not on the issue of in private or not. It's to a point that is following, and that is the one that we are about to send out calls for volunteers. So if you just want to close down the point before, that will be fine with me, and I'll raise my point after we've
yeah,
been
I think,
clear
I think
with
done
one
with
before.
That. Yeah, okay. I think we're done with the point before.
Okay, so I do have difficulties to imagine how we should proceed by sending out calls for volunteers. Probably I'm just wrong, but I'm imagining that we send out a call for volunteers, and whom should we ask? Like, we are looking for volunteers to do what? We are looking for experts on which kind of topic. Once we would know what kind of topic experts we really would look for, how would we be in a position to vouch for or against somebody if a whole amount of volunteers would just sweep in? So I do ask myself if it wouldn't be much more feasible to twist or to turn the process around, like that we would start to vouch for people for for people we do know that they do command a certain knowledge we feel that we would be in need for, and that we would kind of spread or enlarge the group by the knowledge of those who already have been vouched for, instead of asking the whole world to participate in something we can't be very specific on in the current state of our knowledge.
Oh, so maybe one solution for that would be to, in the beginning of the second paragraph, what if we started that first sentence with the word initial sub-working group members shall be selected by the chairs to include blah, 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 and then the next paragraph would kick in. The secretariat will publish the list of initial volunteers and ask members to volunteer if they're interested. And then...
And call for others.
Yeah. So, you know, we the chairs would essentially form the seed of the sub-working group, and then other volunteers could be vouched in by people who were already in the group. How about that?
Correct.
That works for me. I'm not sure that we've got the language quite nailed down, but... that approach would be fine, because I agree there are a lot of people in the working group that probably have huge knowledge that I don't know at all, but presumably others would. Does that work for others?
This well, how, like would you, how would you cope with a thousand of volunteers?
Some of them
you might even... Just do not know.
I think that might be a cross that bridge when we come to it problem. You know, I think what I'd like to do is give ourselves some flexibility as a group of leaders to say, whoa, wait a minute, this working group has gotten so big as to be unwieldy and also so big as to become very difficult to assure confidentiality. But I think that we might want to be a bit vague about how that actually happens. But I don't know. Julie, go ahead. And
yeah.
Bart, I think you were trying to get in too. I didn't mean
go ahead. For Bart. Well, so my point was, this is Julie's, I actually think we don't need the sentence, the DSSA Secretariat shall initiate sub-working groups by sending out volunteers, because we've already said prior to that initial sub-working group members shall be selected by the chairs, et cetera, and then we follow that on the next paragraph, the DSSA Secretariat shall publish this list, the list of initial volunteers, and ask DSSA members to vouch for them. And volunteers will be admitted to the subgroup working group when, you know, et cetera, vouch. So unless we want to say at the end of that second paragraph, you know, if, you know, further subworking group members are needed, the DSSA Secretariat shall initiate, shall send out a call for volunteers or something. I'm just not sure that it would always be needed in every instance.
Yeah, you know, I didn't realize until you pointed it out that we've really got two secretariat jobs here. The last sentence in paragraph 2 and the first sentence in paragraph 3 sort of overlap.
Exactly.
Do you want to take a stab at compressing that out in a new draft, Julie?
Yeah, I'm making some changes now. I'll send this redlined version around. I think all of you should look at it before we talk on it. But there is some redundancy there.
Yeah.
But I would say I'll put in some language suggesting that basically the call for volunteers you know, a further call for volunteers wouldn't, you know, isn't always necessary, you know, sort of capturing that idea. Because I think we've already got sub-working group members selected, you know, there's volunteers that are being vouched for, and then we decide, you know, do we need other people, and maybe we need to call for volunteers. So I'll send that around.
Yeah, I think it's the sequence of steps. I mean, I guess the way I was thinking of it, and you're, correct me if I've gotten your idea wrong, but that the sequence would be the co-chairs come up with an initial group,
pretty
small, I would guess. And they ask the initial group, well, and so then the next step might be we announce that this initial group has been formed. And two things happen. The initial group could reach out to people that they feel would be good additions to the subteam, and we let the rest of the working group know that they've been told, you know, that they've been appointed to this initial group, and that if anybody wants to volunteer or make their own expertise known, this would be a good time to do it. And so there's the initial group, there's essentially a round of either volunteering or reaching out, and then there's a process of vouching, because presumably the initial group is already vouched for by us. That was what I was nervous about, but I'm over that. Then a somewhat larger, probably not huge, group gets formed by letting the world know that we're on the hunt for people like that, and then that vouching takes place. So rather, you know, I think that we do want to have an acknowledgement step after the initial group is formed that says others can join if you want, and we may be reaching out to some of you. Julie, okay. Is that a new hand or an old hand? Go ahead.
I haven't put mine down. Oh, I should have put my hand down, but I'll just add. I've tried to capture that, and I'll send that around as a red line immediately following this meeting.
Oh, cool. All right. Okay. We're getting pretty close to the top of the hour. It also looks like we're pretty close to done. Anything else that we want to cover today? Okay, great. Well, have a great day, and oh, Jörg is up. Go ahead.
Okay, I just had to demute myself. One thing I would still like to speak about is the different scales you, I think, Mikey assembled in the what is now a decision tree or the is it a decision tree?
Yeah, I don't know what we call it. The threat tree is what I'm calling it.
Oh, threat tree, yeah. As I wrote in my emails before, I'm not so confident about at least two of these descriptions of severity levels. And I know that time is running out to do so in this very call. But probably we do have time to talk about this in the next ops call. And I think it's not absolutely necessary to do it right now, because if we are still on our way to discuss the non-adversarial threats, then it's okay with me, because my comments were more on the adversarial threats.
Let me show you what I did. This is the new list. I haven't built these yet. But this list of scales reflects the point that you raised in your email, York.
Okay.
Where it says that there's a difference between expertise and resources.
Right.
And I've actually, I'm staring at this with dismay and shock, because I thought I put my scales into this, and I'll have it in there soon. But I basically took your idea in your email and split those two scales so that there's the ability to make the distinction between those two things, because I thought it was a great idea. And so I went ahead and did that.
All right. Thanks, Mikey.
You bet. Okay, it's the top of the hour on the dot. And with that, I think we'll draw the call to a close, and I'll see you on Thursday. Thanks. Christina, I think we can stop the recording.
Thank you, Mikey. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye, all. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mikey.
Sorry. Take care.
Okay. Thanks, Christina. Have a great...
Thanks.
Have a great week. See you soon.
Yes, you too. Have a great holiday.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.